gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Happy Friday, everybody. It is the Stephanie Miller Show, 6 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number toll free from anywhere to join the party. Hey, my Friday people saying crystals have been replaced by Jim Ward.
What? Hey!
What a minute. It is the Stephanie Miller Show, StephanieMiller.com, the website. You can email us all there, executive producer, crystal boy, voice deity, Jim Ward.
Who's here early?
Who's here early? Because he's leaving early to go
I'm
to D.C.
on a jet plane.
Mr. Ward goes to Washington today with his lovely wife, Janiqua. All right.
I'm going to talk about the filibuster when I'm there. Yeah.
Good idea. But, John Fugelsang will be joining us shortly.
Yes, he's getting his cats fixed.
Oh. It's spay and neuter kitty day in New York, so he'll be joining us in just a little bit.
So that's how you celebrate Guy Fawkes Day.
You can email us all like Bob did. Stay off the good news. Why not? And why not good news from the election? Oh, first of all, go Patty Murray. It's your birthday.
Yep. Yes.
In Washington State.
It ain't a man's
no.
World.
Hey, have you ever noticed what a disaster all of the female Republican candidates were this year? Wow! And meanwhile, it's Chick Day for Democrats. Hello. Barbara Boxer, Patty Murray, we rock. Okay. Good news from the election, Bob says, staff. The good news is I see John Boehner's promising the Republicans will start listening to the will of the American people. That should mean we'll soon pass single-payer health insurance, repeal Don't Ask, Don't Tell, launch a new stimulus program to rebuild road and bridge infrastructure. What? All things the majority of Americans want. Thank
not
you.
Not those American people.
No.
I'm talking about the American people who had to work at a job for money. And no dividend income at all.
I notice in his, he is very touched by himself, essentially, by himself. He's very touched about everything about
He needs to stop being a blubbering pansy if he's going to take over the game.
Yeah, man,
he really does.
Pansy has been thrown out.
Yeah.
Yikes.
Anyone who cries that much is a big old pansy. Sorry.
Oh my. Well, so much for no name calling day.
Yeah.
Rod.
Guy Fawkes Day.
Rod writes. So Boehner and McConnell think the elections mean the American people have spoken. The president needs to listen and change course. Fine. What I want to know is why, after the 2006 and 2008 election, these same politicians' versions of listening to the American people was to obstruct everything that the American people said they wanted.
Not those American people.
Yeah. What about the American people that spoke then?
They don't count. Mm. No.
All the Republicans have done since Democrats took control of the House and Senate is to set unprecedented records for using the filibuster blocking legislation and policies we supposedly voted for. All the Republicans have done since President Obama took office is to lie about his proposals, see death panels, etc., and to block his appointees and agenda. How the hell is that listening to the will of the American people? Rod, thank you, Rod. You're the smartest one. Jeff in Iowa writes, staff, if you notice on election night, Boehner didn't cry when he was talking about love for country or the plight of the unemployed, even the sacrifices of our soldiers.
Yeah.
He didn't cry talking about his hopes or dreams for our country. He cried talking about how hard his life has been and how he had to work several jobs over the years.
I had to work at a tavern. They force-fed me Rob Roy's and Rusty Nails.
It's as if election night was all about
me
him
orange.
And his accomplishments.
The bitters turned him orange.
The rusty nails, that's it. All right, one last one here. Let's see. John in Arizona. Steph, what do you think, who do you think should play the crying tough guy in the upcoming movie production of Analyze This sequel? John Boehner, Glenn Beck. Maybe the producers can put both in the same movie. The drill sergeant who plays a therapist on the TV commercial. That would, he throws the box of tissues at the guy.
Right.
Could work out perfectly as their psychologist, John. Oh, some very good casting.
Neighbors, go to Nabby Pamby Land.
That's what we need. We need that drill sergeant therapist to throw a box of Kleenex at Boehner. Every time he gets
Happy
on the house.
Happy birthday, dear Jesus.
How in touch, by the way, how many people don't have a job at all? He's up there blubbering about the jobs. Dark. Shut up.
I had to have a job to get the money. And it is a sentence to me in my Wall Street earnings. I had to actually work a broom.
Can I just say that my dad would think he's a little panty waste?
Yeah, a pansy.
Excuse me.
No name calling
Can
day,
I have
Stephanie.
Some fine American. My father who ran with Barry Goldwater in 1964 and was a congressman and chairman of the Republican Party, blah, 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 blah. His dad was a janitor. He worked his way... Please. And he never cried once on the floor of the House, for God's sakes. He worked his way up from nothing. All right.
I don't remember anyone really crying on the floor of the House.
I think the top of our list is providing for the safety and security of the American people. That's at the top of our list.
And that was on the floor of the House.
Yep.
Men should cry when something heavy falls on them. All right.
Like an Asian underling?
Wow. Someone did the per cost that Meg Whitman spent. She lost by 13 points.
Yeah. Yeah.
She spent an inordinate amount per vote.
How many millions per vote?
Yeah.
Wow. That's great. Those racist sons of hers have got to be really upset that she spent their inheritance.
They're going to have jobs. They're going to have to work in a tavern.
You bought some of those votes from brown people. That's our money. Oh, tea and then a he.
Oh, God, I love it.
Can I just say, yeah, the female Republican candidates this year, what an attractive lot. And I don't mean that physically, just attractive as candidates.
Yeah.
Yikes. Donde los yikes.
Has Christine O'Donnell figured out that she's lost yet?
Didn't.
Even Carly Fiorina's figured out that she's lost. Yeah.
Yes. And that took her a while.
Yeah, it did.
She whispered her confession.
Yeah.
Okay,
to an underling.
That was Meg Whitman that shoved an underling. Or was it Carly Fiorina that shoved an underling?
Well, she had underlings.
Meg
too.
Whitman.
Meg Whitman.
I'm sure Carly Fiorina has shoved an underling.
Well,
we just don't know about it.
She outsourced the telling of the admitting of her loss to someone in China. It took a while to get back around.
Could you give my concession speech for me?
She outsourced it.
Unfortunately, it was in Mandarin, but.
Oh,
all right.
Oh, dear.
I'm sure you saw this. Wow, Jim, were you right in record time? Barely an hour after President Obama held out the olive branch again, invited congressional Republicans to post-election talks to work together on major issues. The Senate's Republican leader had a blunt message. His main goal is to deny Obama re-election.
Yes.
Mitch McConnell doubling down on the,
And Mike Malloy is saying that Obama should just say, okay, I'm not running for another term. So don't waste your time.
Yeah. Well,
how about you just do the people's business?
That's not going to happen. But as I mentioned yesterday, Mike Malloy is devastatingly sexy. He is a very attractive man.
Okay. The Senate. Neither Jim nor I see it.
But you're not a chick. Okay,
no.
Senator Mitch McConnell called for Senate votes to repeal or erode health care. That's what they're going to, by the way, that's how they're going to listen to the American people. They're just going to he said over and over and over again.
American
they're just
people
gonna
don't
keep,
want health care.
Yeah.
They want to die of preventable diseases.
He said, and the only way to do all these things is to put someone in the White House who won't veto any of these things. So Obama invited Republican and Democratic congressional leaders for talks on November 18th. He said, I want us to talk substantively about how we can move the American people's agenda forward. It's not going to be just a photo op. And there he is. It was like Boner, remember?
Mm-hmm.
The last time when the president said we're going to go talk about health care, and the Boner said we're all going to vote against it. Don't bother coming. We're voting against it. The thing that's a little frustrating.
Whatever it is, I'm against it.
It's what? How did the American people think they were going to get anything else? Apparently, this is what you voted for this time. They've told you what they're going to do, and this is what they're going to do further. They literally, the mandate was the American people said, work together.
Yep.
Try to do, I've said in poll after poll, they don't like Republicans any better, and a lot of top Republicans admitted that. A lot of them have been on record saying, yeah, we get that they're not really voting. They want us to work together.
Yes, we'll work together to destroy the Obama administration.
Exactly.
That's what the American people said when they voted for him in a landslide and elected Democrats to the House and the Senate.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. But we don't listen to those American people.
No.
Lindsay,
they don't count.
Lindsay in Portland, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Lindsay.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I'm an Afro-American. I voted for Obama. But if Obama keeps on thinking he is going to work with the far right, I won't walk across the street for this man. I am disappointed. I feel that I've been lied to on health care.
How are you lied to on health care?
public option and to find out that...
Okay, he never promised you the public option. He said he was for it, which he was.
I think he did promise us a rose garden, though.
His chief of staff was not for it. His chief of staff, and I feel betrayed. Oh, I feel betrayed when it comes to war crimes. He's letting the Bush administration officials go scot-free. He's defending their actions.
So your reaction would be to put more of them in, to put more Republicans in. So instead of putting more Democrats in and trying to strengthen health care and get the public option, eventually, you wanted them to repeal it entirely, health care.
No. I don't think we'd be here if Hillary was president.
Oh, dear God. All right.
Oh.
You know, can we just, seriously, I mean, this, I'm sorry, he's the reason we lost. That guy there in this cycle. Because I, honestly... Like, what? At this point,
where's my pony that farts glitter? Unicorn pony. Whatever.
Exactly. I mean, how can you go back to all these hypotheticals now? This, that, and whatever. I mean, a lot of people said, you know what? Exactly the same thing would have happened. You remember how much the Republicans loved the Clintons? Like, oh yes, I'm sure they would have been much more cooperative had Hillary been president. Yeah. It's like,
exactly.
But what is the point in rewriting history now?
And as far as Hillary
goes, by the way, her husband lost bigger than Obama. Did he lost the House and the Senate?
Right.
As good a president as Bill Clinton was. Exactly.
Only 19%. It's the same as in this election. 19% of eligible voters voted Republican. Hi, I'm here.
Hello, John Fugelsang.
Sorry, I was at the
vet. Hello, disembodied voice.
Yes. Good morning, kids. I was sorry I was late. I was at the vets. My kitten is having cut off what the Democratic Party cut off themselves this week.
Waka, waka, waka.
All right. 18
minutes. 19% of the electorate. That's all. It's a minority that showed up. The only mandate they have is Ken Melman.
Hey. You were the play-in. Okay, Fugelsang. Hits thrown out the first Ken Melman joke of the morning. 18 minutes after the hour, right back with more Fridays with Fugelsang on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Facts with Slide Whistle. It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
Got me feeling like she's ready to blow. Yeah.
Don't make another Ken Melman joke.
Personally, I like a freak in the street and a lady in the bed, but that's
sure.
Just me.
Well, to each his own. 24 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number. John Fugelsang's here. It's Friday.
Are you having a party or something?
Non-stop.
Oh, and remember, Friday is...
Fridays with Fugelsang.
Shit is on fire.
Good morning, John Fugelsang.
Uh-oh.
We somehow have lost John Fugelsang.
Oh, no.
No, we've jingled for nothing. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll-free from anywhere. Bill in New Jersey, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Bill.
Yes.
Hello, Bill. Yes. Go ahead.
Hi. Yeah, I'm wondering what's going on with the Haiti relief. They're about to hit a major hurricane. They've had 400 people killed by cholera, and... where's the $1.1 billion that Colburn held up? Where did it go?
Yeah, it's hard to keep track of everything the Republicans have held up. I mean, it really is. You know, we keep using the word unprecedented, but it really is. By the way, so did you say bat crazy Michelle Bachmann on CNN? This is, I mean, I have to say, it is unprecedented, the level of criticism of this president. I mean, I know that politics has always been nasty, but, so, you know, he's leaving for, where is it, today, right? He's leaving for India today? Yeah.
For less than $200 million a day.
Uh-huh, yes. So, you know, he said, Anderson Cooper was asking her what, you know, program she would use to cut the deficits, and that's all they talk about. Asked about Medicare and Social Security, which Paul Ryan has, she didn't want to talk about that. She wanted to argue about a much more pressing matter, the cost of President Obama's trip to India. She said, I think within a day or so, the president will be taking a trip to India that's expected to cost taxpayers $200 million a day.
Which is a completely made-up
the
number.
The war in Afghanistan costs $190 million a day. How could the president's... They just lie. And Anderson Cooper tries to call her on it, and it just... They just literally pull it out of their ass.
Yeah. That was where that number came from.
And he goes, don't presidents always stay in hotels and need
George
security?
No, George Bush always stayed at home. Mm-hmm. He never went anywhere.
I was reading this recent article. Last spring, President Obama remember, took his wife to see a play in New York.
Oh.
And Republicans went nuts over the cost of security. The president can't take his wife out to dinner and a show without being scrutinized by the political opposition. As history has proven, a president in the theater without adequate
yeah.
security is a tragically
what
bad
could
idea.
What go wrong?
Yeah.
He should be like Bush and never take his wife out in public.
Yeah.
Exactly. Just leave her in the Rose Garden chain-smoking and cursing her life. Like Pickles Bush. John Fugel saying your take on Tuesday.
Well, I'm glad to be here. My whole week has been spent talking liberals off of bridges.
Us too.
You know, it's not the end of the world, kids. People are really unhappy, but it's not the end of the world, and good things will come from this. Mm-hmm. I mean, look, every election, when it's Democrats or Republicans, we have a choice. Do you want your empire to collapse gradually or rapidly? And this week, people voted to collapse their empire rapidly. But here's the thing. I said before the break, only 19% of all eligible voters in the country voted Republican this week. And that's the same exact percentage as Clinton had in 1994. It's not a mandate. Mm-hmm. The status quo is always more organized. The Republican Party is always more organized.
And over 60% of Tea Party candidates lost.
Yep.
I mean,
exactly.
Where is that storyline in the public?
Exactly.
I mean,
you
don't see it anywhere.
And the conservative Democrats lost as well. The really conservative Democrats and Republicans were the big losers on this. Progressive Democrats, we lost Russ Feingold. The good news about that, you can tell your friends, honestly, there's only one liberal left in the Senate and one true liberal in Bernie.
Yeah.
Because Bernie and Russ were the only real people I would call liberals. There's, there's left-leaning Democrats, but Feingold was a liberal. That's a loss.
I'm happy clappy because I'm out here with Senator Barbara Boxer. So
I voted for her.
A hero, yes.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I mean,
but Sharon Angle lost. Everyone, Sarah Palin was the biggest loser of the night because Carl Palladino, Sharon Angle, Christine O'Donnell,
Joe Miller,
Ken Buck,
that glass ceiling.
Yeah, I mean, really, they got the House. Yes, but here's another thing. You can thank Michael Steele's ineptness for this, because if they'd had a real guy running the RNC, they should have taken 80 seats. When you consider how organized the right wing is,
how well funded they are,
they should have taken 80 seats. It's only because Michael Steele's an ass clown.
Oh, and they've already, there's a story today in the paper, John, they've already started the circular firing squad that absolutely, the Tea Party cost them the Senate. I mean, there's no question about it.
Listen, liberals need to be happy because now comes the greatest thing. Now you get to see the right wing eating each other with salad forks and having total full-on civil war cannibalism for the next 2 years. It is going to be the Romneyites versus the Palinites, and we get to sit back and watch them do it.
And look at all the focus on, he's the leader on Harry Reid's race. It wasn't even close. That story didn't get a lot of play.
They're missing the chicken lady.
What? That's because it's like, well, cheer up, Democrats. You still got Harry Reid, right? Democrats? Yeah. Hello? Democrats?
29 minutes after the hour. Back with more Fridays with Fugel Sang on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
I'm a bad pussycat.
That's why you were neutered.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show, 34 minutes after the hour. Jody in Los Angeles, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hey, Jody.
Oh, sorry. I almost fell asleep. This is the first time I'm calling you, and I want to say that Obama, during this, he shouldn't compromise. They've been trying to kick him out since he got in. The Tea Party started a Tea Party the day he got inaugurated. During this lame duck, they ought to put they should start it up right now and start passing everything that Nancy Pelosi, which I'm really sorry that
Pelosi.
She,
you turned her Polish.
Devastated that she's not going to be. She's the best House. I don't know what I'm saying.
She has. I was just reading an article about that. She really. That history will probably judge her as one of the best, most effective speakers we've ever had.
I can't believe I'm talking.
I can't either, isn't it?
Oh, early this morning to call in because I've tried so many times.
Aww.
And so I was waiting on the phone, and I almost fell asleep.
Oh, that's all right.
But don't worry about
well, you'll be with the rest of our audience.
Yeah.
Oh, shush, John.
There's the other thing that's so important is that these people that call in, these right-wingers, they do not know the Constitution. And right. They try to say, and what is that, Michelle Bachmann talking about that she's going to have a Constitution class.
Caucus or whatever, yeah, right.
Yeah, well, they should have done that before they ran for office.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, the constitutional class. That's right, mm-hmm. Yes, yes. Well, Christine O'Donnell can teach it now since she's out of work again.
Yeah.
Let's go to
Christine O'Donnell's trying to find where in the Constitution she has to concede.
Right.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. It doesn't say it. It's not in the First Amendment.
It's in there in a way.
There's another amendment?
He's all like, I win, so I'm supposed to be all like, yeah, I concede, well, whatever. Amy in Iowa, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome.
I can see obscurity from my house.
Good morning, Stephanie.
Hi, Ames.
Good morning. I just want to call for a little civil disobedience on our part. I know how to type in the big box, first of all.
Yes, good for you.
And I have already been... Little Arlene, I am tired of being told that I'm supposed to play nicey-nice with these people while they, you know... say whatever they want to say, and, you know, I called somebody a teabagger the other day, and they said, well, just made the reference to teabaggers, and they said, oh, well, that's really offensive. And I said, no, making a sign with a picture of our president with a bone through his nose is offensive.
Yeah.
Yeah. Or it looks mustache. Like a Hitler mustache or like Satan or,
Yeah, so I encourage everybody to...
And by the way, these are the people that go insane about the burning of the American flag, but that's okay to do
exactly.
to the president
exactly.
of the United States?
So
yeah, unless it's in wartime.
For everybody,
What
happened?
I don't know. Something went awry at her house, unfortunately.
Maybe that cat stepped on the phone or something.
I don't know what happened there.
Oh.
Can I just say, boy, this is the headline that made me go berserk. Because, you know, they're looking at all the exit polling now, John,
right.
to see what happened. Exit poll, nearly a third of gays voted for Republicans.
Wow.
Wow.
Well, you know... Exit polling found 31% of people who identified as gay voted for Republicans on Election Day. That represents a big uptick from the 24% who voted for the GOP in 2006 and the only 19% who did so in 2008.
Well,
the trend appears to bear out pre-Election Day predictions from gay rights organizers that gay voters were angry and disenchanted with Democrats for not delivering on promises to the community.
Your ass faces.
Yes.
Even worse, 100% of gay people who don't identify as gay vote Republican.
Exactly.
100% of shame-based closet cases voted Republican.
I think they've realized how many gays there are in the Republican Party. So, hey,
here's the party.
There was
it's real equality when gay people...
There was a disproportionate drop in Democratic support among gay voters compared to Hispanic, Black, and young voters. The sample size is small, but the exit poll analyst said the drop must be attributed to the dissatisfaction with the pace of change of... I enjoy your snit fit, seriously.
Yeah. Okay, that was
awesome.
Kind of bitchy, if I may say.
I'm going back to the guy who hates me.
Yeah.
You haven't made my life perfect, so I'm going back to the guy who hated me before.
Seriously, John, is there an election cycle this has been clearer in? And these are not just lunatic fringe candidates that lost. This is Jim DeMint, who does not think gay people should be allowed to teach in schools, who is the new power in the Republican Party.
Mm-hmm.
If you think you're going to get to serve in the military or get married, forget it. You know what I mean?
This is like blacks voting for Strom Thurmond because they were unsatisfied with the pace of civil rights reform.
Well, no, not all gays who vote Republican are self-loathing. Some of them are just selfish bastards. So keep in mind, too.
Yes.
Some of them have good incomes, and they don't want to help the less fortunate because they've gotten there on their own, and they don't think they need to help with health care. They don't think they need to have a stronger country from the inside out instead of the outside in.
Yeah, they just ignore that specific plank in the Republican platform that is against their very way of life.
Their very existence.
If you look at the Montana Republican platform, which is to outlaw homosexuality.
Right. That's just one state, but the national platform of the Republican Party has a specific plank in there that is against gays.
I'm waiting for
the
Jews.
Well, they
want to
get all those hate crime protections off their backs.
Yeah.
Okay. Dennis.
It's all going to be fine.
Dennis in Chicago. Hello, Dennis.
Hello there. How are you this morning?
Good.
I just thought I'd give you guys a quick update from Chicago's news media that said that the reason why Bill Brady didn't beat Quinn was because Scott Lee Cohen, who was an independent, who was a Democrat and ran as an independent after he got bumped out for lieutenant governor because of a sex scandal, he took votes away from Brady instead of Quinn, and that was the difference between Quinn winning and Giannoulis not winning.
I missed all of that, but the only thing I know is that I've eaten dinner right next to Pat Quinn, and he seemed like a very nice, unassuming man. he's governor, correct, of Illinois? Yeah, what was the thing I did? Oh, you know, the one where I did a reach around on Dick Durbin. It looked like I was. I just was hugging him, but the picture looked untoward. But anyway,
what did the lovely and talented Mrs. Durbin think of this?
It was inadvertent.
Unclear?
Unclear what she thought.
Okay.
Uh-huh. Anyway, but I ate dinner next to Pat Quinn, and he was very, I literally took me through halfway through the dinner before you, and then he was like, I was like, oh, you're running for, oh, you're the guy, oh!
Oh, Stephanie.
Just chewing on a roll, talking to me. Yes, John?
Oh, the only thing that happened this week was Sarah Palin was destroyed by her own party. Oh, Barack Obama pretty much was reelected, and the Democrats lost a House minority they really weren't using.
They weren't using it anyway.
This is what saved Bill Clinton's presidency, was losing both houses, and Obama only lost one house.
Yep.
Believe me, now the worst nightmare John Boehner ever had has happened. He has to work. He has to do something. He's got to produce something in the next 2 years, or it's going to be easy to hang all this on him, too.
And now
it's
the fun,
be beautiful.
Now the fun starts between the Tea Party and the Republican establishment. There's already Palin lashed out at out of touch Ed Gillespie.
Yeah.
And she said, anyone in the GOP who thinks they can cut a little deal here, there with Obama or Pelosi, they're going to find themselves without a job in 2012. We got to remind these folks in the next couple of years, we put you in, we can take you out. You betcha.
You betcha.
Wow.
Well, thank God we're done with tax and spend liberalism. We can get back to borrow and spend conservatism. But that's all they're talking about.
Yeah.
They don't mean a damn thing about, you know, they're talking about a deficit on one hand and raising the debt ceiling on the other. Boehner's pledge with America adds trillions to our debt. They lied to these Republican folks. They lied about everything, and now they got to own up to it. And what are they going to do? Cut defense spending?
Yeah.
I mean, that's the only thing that
literally,
country would do at this point, and we ain't sane.
The only cut Michelle Bachmann can come up with is the president's spending too much on security and his trip to India.
Yeah.
That's where we could save a lot of money.
As she lies about the number spent.
With these figures I read somewhere in a blog somewhere.
Yeah.
$11 billion.
It was from a blog in India that they got this number.
Here's my job.
I was talking groupies.
So
what are you doing?
The Republican Opposition Research Office is scouring blogs in India trying to come up with lying numbers.
It was 100,000 rupees.
Yes.
That was why you were stick of chewing gum, by Jove.
What would a slumdog like you know about cost a trip to India for president?
She heard it from her technical support guy. They were just making conversation.
Not press any key. And you will get rid of Obama's security detail. And save 100,000 million rupees, by Joe.
We will do anything to help the Republican Party because they sent all their jobs over here.
Thank you very much.
I cannot believe that, idiot. I said 200... Probably just an idle conversation while they were waiting for her computer to reboot. Oh, by Joe, what an idiot. 200 million, that's not what I said.
And yet Fox continues to propagate that number. So they are being the most irresponsible, quote-unquote, journalists out there today.
This is news.
Yeah. They get to lie.
No, it's just an underscore.
Someone read it somewhere.
That should be the Fox slogan. This is news?
What? Bob in Seattle, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Bob.
Hi.
Hello. Go ahead.
Hi. Oh, okay. Hi. Yeah, it was Bob from Seattle.
Yes.
And I just want to be the first one to congratulate Senator Patty Murray,
woo-hoo!
A great senator for election of fourth term.
Yep.
And also, I want to urge everyone listening here to phone your Democratic senators to tell them to blow up the filibuster during the lame duck session. That way they can pass all the bills through that have been waiting since...
Not blow it up, but change it. Change the rules. We got a letter from...
Yeah, we have a letter. You know
Sausalito,
what?
Which is,
Bob, we'll talk about that when we get back. Let's talk about the implications of all
thanks
that.
Thanks for setting that up. That
thank you.
Great. Yeah.
Why, that's what's called a tease in the radio business.
Is that what they call that?
Why, one would have thought I almost took that call on purpose.
You.
No, that would imply preparation. 45 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Ooh, what a lovely program.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show, 49 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere.
Chris in Yankton writes, Republicans like crazy Michelle Bachmann are getting their facts about Obama's trip from blogs in India. Cripes, now they're even outsourcing their lying to India.
Thank you very much for the work. You know, we're very grateful.
Margaret in Madison writes, Steph, I'm bitterly jealous. I have cousins in New York, Colorado, and California, and they all got good senators and governors. Wisconsin, on the other hand, is the Charlie Brown of Halloween. All we got was rocks. They got rocks.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Ellie with the filibuster fun facts that Jim was talking about. Ellie in Sausalito. Yeah. Who's all happy clappy because we have Governor Jerry Brown and Senator Barbara Boxer.
Yeah.
Dear Mom and the Mooks, I hear people talking about the filibuster on your show. I'm sensing a surprising lack of facts being discussed. The biggest problem we've been having the last few years is the filibuster. The Republicans set about to abuse the filibuster to prevent Congress from getting a liberal agenda through, an agenda which would have gotten us much, much further along, probably would have prevented this midterm horror. The Republicans filibustering everything in sight caused so much obstruction that the important, all-important liberal base became frustrated, refused to come out in numbers for the midterms. Here are some fun facts. Number one, the filibuster is a function of the Senate, not the House.
Right.
Therefore, it is still to our advantage to alter the filibuster now since we control the Senate. And we'll probably need the Senate to at least try to move legislation along. And we need to try or Obama will be blamed again, which they're already setting up now.
Yeah.
Have you heard Mitch McConnell's already going, well, wait a week. There's only so much we can do. We're just saying. I mean, you're going to have to help us get the president out of office is really the only.
Sorry, my chin was dribbling down off my skull.
Number two, the filibuster was invented to safeguard the minority's right to debate an issue and not be steamrolled by the majority on issues that are important. It was never intended to allow a minority party to use on every piece of legislation and steal all the power away from the majority voted into office by the American people by requiring a 60-vote threshold in passing everything. The Republicans have abused this rule, and Democrats not wishing to change the rules of the Senate midterm have suffered through it. Now is the time to change the rules. The filibuster can be changed, even eliminated with a simple majority vote when the new Senate first convenes.
But we don't want to do that.
At the beginning of each new Congress, the first thing the Senate does is set its rules. With a simple majority, the filibuster can be changed, and it should be. We should not underestimate the power the Republicans will have if they not only obstruct the Senate but also control the House. We need to support anyone and everyone who speaks for changing the rules of filibuster in January. If we were to have President Obama back again in 2 years, this is an absolute must. Keep in mind, allowing the Republicans to do everything they want and hoping they will be blamed in 2012 absolutely will not work. The filibuster must be changed so we can fight. Love to you all. Can't breathe without you, really. Ellie and Sausalito.
Who's a very talented artist, by the way.
Yes. Indeed.
And Sausalito's a beautiful town.
Yes.
That's like not the important thing.
Well,
the filibuster is the important thing. Yes, Sausalito is beautiful, but...
we can't get rid of the filibuster. We will never get rid of the filibuster. The filibuster may save the Democratic Party's life someday when they're a minority party.
Yes, I agree with that.
So there's that. Right? Come on. It's a fine line between totalitarian fascism and the tyranny of the majority.
Yeah, but the point Ellie makes is a really good one. They have been abusing the filibuster. They have not just been using the filibuster as it was intended to be used.
This is
the problem. Like Jim always says, they don't play fair. And Mitch McConnell, the president came out again and said, yes, once again, I have worked with the Republicans. I will continue to work with Republicans. And what does Mitch McConnell say? He doubles down.
Yeah,
on our number one priority is to get him out of office.
But this is not new. The Republican Party used the filibuster more in Bill Clinton's first 2 years than had been used in the previous 50 years in all of America. We know they do this. They should have been ready for this. Filibuster reform, good idea. Filibuster abolishment, bad idea.
Yeah.
The president talking about this.
The immediate focus is going to be what we need to get done during the lame duck session.
The president again on the...
I mentioned yesterday, we have to act in order to assure that middle-class families don't see a big tax spike because of how the Bush tax cuts had been structured. It is very important that we extend those middle-class tax provisions to hold middle-class families harmless.
You know,
and the rich guys as well.
Mm-hmm. You know, here's the thing. Who was on TV? I can't remember. It's hard to remember who's who here. But do you know a lot of these big corporations, you know what they pay in taxes? Zero.
Nothing.
Like Exxon.
Yes.
Yeah.
Everybody listening to this radio show right now paid more in taxes last year than ExxonMobil or Bank of America.
That's right.
Yeah. Let's see. Oh,
but they're
here
people.
It is.
They're people.
Leaders from the Tea Party Patriots held a press conference to celebrate the results of the election, in which, as I mentioned, over 60% of their candidates lost.
Yes.
But okay. Presented with the fact that some of the most profitable American corporations in the world, like ExxonMobil and Bank of America, paid essentially zero corporate income tax, Think Progress asked the head of the Tea Party Patriots if he believed corporations are indeed taxed enough already. He responded that he still believed in a tax-cutting agenda and suggested that corporations even deserve a tax holiday. How do you have a holiday from paying zero?
Yeah.
He said, we've been suggesting a corporate tax holiday to allow these companies to come in and create jobs. Well, they're obviously not creating jobs now and they're paying zero. Or in the case of, what is it, Google, maybe paid 2%. I mean, mm-hmm. They're being taxed too much. That's why they're not hiring. It's just complete bull.
Wow. Google's kind of being evil by only paying 2% of their taxes.
All right. Mm-hmm. Tucker in Minneapolis, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome, Tucker.
Morning, Steph.
Good morning.
Boy, oh, boy, I'll tell you, the one area that we've got to work on immediately is these morning news programs, because this liberal media keeps putting guys like Karl Rove and Joe Miller, Sarah Palin, yep. Michelle Bachmann, and Christine mm-hmm. O'Donnell. That was all over the media this morning. The Republicans win, and yet we get to listen to Christine O'Donnell lie about the Bush tax cuts again.
Yeah. Yeah.
Somebody who was resoundingly rejected by the voters in Delaware.
Right. And you talk about since when?
Party.
Right. And since when does this happen? When do they put the losing candidate? I mean, you're right.
Well, since they found out Fox didn't want it.
They have nothing to offer, and yet, you sit there and look at Matt Lauer and Meredith Vieira, and they never question him, they never challenge him.
They're taking them seriously.
And you mentioned this earlier, 2% watch the cable news networks. I don't know what the numbers are on the morning news programs, but I've got to imagine they rival the evening news programs in viewership, especially in the younger demographics. And all you ever see on there is Republicans and then maybe the occasional James Carville.
Yeah.
So,
We got to find much better people to get out there. We got to fight these.
Can we vote out the
programs?
Can we vote out the morning news anchors? I wasn't not aware. How do we do that?
They need to put smart people like Rachel Maddow on these morning programs.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, there's only one Rachel Maddow, sadly, for America.
Well, there are other smart liberals and progressives out there too that they just aren't putting on the TV.
But see, the important thing is that this gives a lie to the conservative meme.
Who is the one,
liberal media.
Who's the one liberal without a TV show?
You would, in order to do the Today Show, you would have to get up so insanely early here on the West Coast.
Like I have any life anyway.
Be in makeup at 2:30 a.m.
Yeah.
Joe in Spokane, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Joe.
Good morning, guys and gal. You'd mentioned that this is John Boehner's worst nightmare, having to actually lead. No, his worst nightmare is going to the liquor cabinet and there's no gin left.
All right, but next to that.
Seriously, though, the polls in Nevada said that Sharon Engel was ahead of Harry Reid for the longest time,
yep.
and then he blows her out. What's with these polls? You know, you hear them all the time, and is it just to try to make you think something's not real, or what are they creating, their own reality? What is that?
Listen, it's Carly Fiorina said that out here, election day. Oh, her polls show I'm only down a point or two. It's like, yeah, okay. So she lost by 10 points and still didn't concede.
My polls show I'm ahead by a million points.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah. Well, that's what happens when you're pulled in an exit. But the great thing about the morning show comment is it gives the lie to all the conservative memes about the liberal media.
Yep.
Tell your right-wing friends when the media pays as much attention to anti-war marches as Tea Party rallies, then we can call it liberal media. Until then, it's a profit-driven media. That's good and it's bad. We get to be the same ones.
What anti-war marches? Exactly.
Uh-huh.
58 minutes after the hour. Back with more Fridays with Fuglesang as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's The Stephanie Miller Show.
It is The Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 6 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-1-2, the phone number. StephanieMiller.com. Check it out. You can email us all there. Executive producer Chris Lavoie, voice of deity Jim Ward, or me, Stephanie Miller. John Fugelsang in the New York Bureau of Stephanie Holla. Miller Incorporated.
Holla.
Lune writes, Steph, during breakfast, my 7-year-old daughter Jade asked, Mommy, are Republicans bad? I really had to bite my lip when I answered, no, we just see things differently. They're different and see things differently. Later on, my daughter reminded me, I once told her that no matter what, I love her. Even when I'm mad at her, she asked, what if I'm a trash can? I laughed and said, yes. This time she said, Mommy, what if I marry a Republican? I answered that it would be very difficult for me. Then she asked, what if I become a Republican? I almost yelled, then I will not love you anymore. But of course, I replied, oh, I don't think that can happen, but I'd love you anyway. This kid has my number. I can see it when she's a teenager. She's going to join Young Republicans just to piss me off.
Yeah.
Barbara.
Mommy, are Nazis bad? Well, no, we just disagree with them.
Barbara in Marin County writes, Steph, our biggest... Marin. Mm-hmm. Our biggest... Well, let me ask Urza Klein how it's pronounced.
Does Urza Klein live in Marin?
I don't know. I'm duly chastened. Our biggest mistake, not telling the American people about our many accomplishments. Obamacare, let's embrace this title. Now 30 million Americans have health care, and this is truly awesome. We brought combat troops out of Iraq, gave tax cuts to most Americans, saved the auto industry and jobs, put regulations on Wall Street and credit card companies, et cetera, et cetera.
What have you done for me lately?
What were Republicans doing the last 2 years? Everything they could to stop us from trying to bring about the recovery the U.S. Was in or needed due to their disastrous policies. What do they care about? Tax cuts for the rich and taking back power. Exactly. And they've told you this.
And that'll fit nicely on a bumper sticker.
Boy, oh boy.
Do Republicans have the spare planet somewhere they're going to move to when everything goes to hell? Because they're acting like it.
Yes, they're bent on destroying this one, I guess.
Can I say a good thing about one Republican?
Mm. Yes.
Tom Coburn just called for cutting the Pentagon's sacred cows, and he said taking defense spending off the table is indefensible.
Wow.
Wow.
So a Republican is demanding we cut defense spending.
Wow, that's unusual.
Well,
wow.
On this show, you will hear us being very fair to Republicans when they do the right and moral and smart thing.
And it's pay attention because it's so rare.
Yes.
It's like a chupacabra sighting.
Yeah, and by the way, is it like that Democrats or Obama seem to be paying the price primarily for the auto and bank bailouts, which George Bush did?
Yep.
And, again, I went on record as saying one of the few things he did right.
Yeah, they should be taking credit for it. It's one of the things he actually got right.
Yeah, I mean, one of the puzzlements, I must say, of this election cycle is how does saving the American auto industry, which is now whole and paying us back, how is that spun as a bad thing? I don't...
Because there's a black man in the White House. Pay attention.
Exactly.
Because of socialism, except we didn't actually nationalize them.
Right.
The important thing is Jill in Ithaca saw John Fugelsang in New York. Hello, Jill.
What? Hello, Stephanie.
Hello.
We're still recovering from your trip.
Well,
and
me
actually,
too.
And actually, one guy who you found attractive because he snorted, as I heard him leave the show, he said he would never wash his knees again. I was thinking a little higher up after you sat on his lap. But,
I love a snorter.
Anyway, but anyway, I was lucky enough to see John Fugelsang in New York City on September 11th by total surprise. He actually covered for your show the week before, and I was trying to call through and just mention that, you know, people who were interested in the truth about 9/11 were going to meet down in the city, and I couldn't get through to the show. And then I heard somebody, as I was in a group of people, say, well, thank you, John. And I looked around and saw this gorgeous guy with movie star features.
Yes, isn't he stunning?
And then John Fugelsang turned up.
Yeah. Right.
And then I blocked your view of him.
It was like a woo moment because it was John and he was very gracious. And I, you know, mentioned you coming up to Ithaca. And he said possibly in the future, you know, he and Hal might come up. So
awesome.
Anyway, that was a great day in my life.
Well, it's a great day in every woman's life. The
I'm
first
glad
time
I could
you
make
see
9/11 so happy for you.
Stunningly handsome John Fugelsang
in
person.
That was very, very, very sweet. Aww. I was down there taking photographs of I went to do a little photo essay of all the different protest signs I could see because there were a lot of very different ones that day. And it made me proud to be a New Yorker and proud to be an American and proud that I saw the buses the Koch brothers paid for to bus all the anti-Mosque people.
Fabulous.
Yeah.
Fabulous. All right. Robert Gibbs, White House press secretary yesterday.
I think the president looks forward to hearing from, during these upcoming meetings, what Republicans
what's on Republicans' minds as it relates to that.
Oh, well, Mitch McConnell has already told you. Here are the not-so-fun facts about what he's... let's see. Well, Senator Mitch McChinless conceded... he conceded a full repeal of the health care law. It won't be possible in the short term.
Full repeal of health care law.
Sorry, what?
President Wilson veto plan.
He said we may not be able to bring about a straight repeal in the next 2 years. We may not win every vote against targeted provisions, even though we should have bipartisan support for some. But we can compel administration officials to attempt to defend this indefensible health spending bill and other costly government the stimulus.
Freedom. Every time an uninsured person dies, an eagle gets his wings.
Republicans will continue to press, he said, for a complete repeal of the health care law while taking steps to eliminate its worst parts. The things that might actually help people, yes, exactly.
Well, they want to destroy the whole thing and then reinstate their own version, which has a lot of the same stuff in it.
Yes.
And take credit for it.
Except they did this with their hands when they did it.
$120 billion off the deficit, that very health care bill?
Harry Reid's spokesman said it speaks volumes. The first thing on Republicans' to-do list is to give power back to the big health insurance companies.
Yep.
What Senator McConnell is really saying is Republicans want to let insurance companies go back to denying people coverage with pre-existing conditions, let them go back to charging women twice as much as for the same coverage for men, and let them push millions of seniors back into the Medicare donut hole.
Did he say this or whisper this gently? Give it to Schumer. Give it to Schumer. Just saying. Give Schumer the gig.
All right. Do we have, Senator Mitch McChinless yesterday about the lame duck session?
We know what the bipartisan position is. It's to extend the current tax policy. In other words, don't raise taxes on anybody and get about it as soon as possible, because if we don't act, everybody's taxes are going up in January.
Everybody I know anyway, bring back $1 billion or so, because their taxes are going to go up.
He really is the bastard child of Darth Vader and Elmer Fudd. You
know, Darth, be very quiet.
You are part of a web war wise
in the Quaid.
All right, on health care.
So we'll also have to work in the House on denying funds for implementation, and in the Senate on votes against its most egregious provisions.
The egregious provisions save people's lives. There's a lot of people who just need to be dead. And frankly, that's an egregious part of the whole thing, that we can't kill them.
Yes. Some more on the health.
We may not win every vote against targeted provisions, but we can compel the administration officials to attempt to defend this indefensible health spending bill.
Indefensible.
Yeah.
It was great. It was great watching this, because Boehner's face, you could realize that his career had already peaked and he was getting thirsty.
Yeah.
He needs to crawl down by the stream. And,
this
really take a few sips.
Is stunning to me that literally the day after the president comes out, you know, again offering to work with the Republicans as he has done over and over and over. Mitch McConnell doubles down, literally. He says, over the past week, some have said it was indelicate of me to suggest our top political priority of the next year should be to deny President Obama a second term in office. But the fact is, our primary legislative goals are to repeal and replace the health spending bill, end the bailouts, cut spending, shrink the... Well, then they're going to have to go back and impeach President Bush, I guess.
Yeah.
Cut spending, shrink the size and scope of government. The only way to do all these things is to put someone in the White House who won't veto any of these things. We can hope the president's blah, blah, blah. We'll start listening, but we can't plan on it.
We prefer there were no president at all and let me handle everything. That's the way it's going to work.
McConnell got punked by his own state, by the way. Keep this in mind about how powerful this guy is. He did everything he could to keep Rand Paul from getting that nomination.
Yep.
Yes, he did.
His own state party punked him.
Yep.
We got two Republican senators from Kentucky who hate each other.
This is their idea of compromise, by the way. McConnell said he made it clear he wants the administration to move in our direction if he wants the party's cooperation. Oh, I see. That's your idea of compromise. You come to us. I mean, it's...
You know, Gingrich said the same thing. When Gingrich took over in 94, he said there will be no compromise. And I just thought, how can you say that in a democracy? This is politics. It's all about compromise. They're only speaking to their base. Because the day after Boehner said no compromise to the Tea Party, he said in his press conference that we want to work with the president. So they're lying to their own base. The Tea Partiers are going to realize what fakes these guys are, and we get to sit back and watch them implode.
Yeah, well, Sarah Palin's already threatening them. Greg in Lexington, one good thing happened in Kentucky. Hello, Greg.
Hello, Stephanie. Yes, I'm in Lexington, and this is a rose among the thorns of the state of Kentucky, but we actually elected our first openly gay mayor.
I heard.
Congratulations.
Yes, and we're very excited. He goes into office in January.
Jim Gray, correct?
Jim Gray,
yep.
Yes.
Congratulations. Let's hear it for him. All right. I need to
go
take
Kentucky.
What's that?
Go Kentucky. That's wonderful. I'm so proud of Kentucky.
Well, like Hal was telling us on Wednesday, Lexington is kind of like this blue pocket in the middle of
it's
Kentucky.
It's the Asheville of Kentucky.
It's the, yes. Yes. That's where, that's, if you're gay in Kentucky, that's where you go, apparently.
Yes.
Yeah.
Before, if, now that you put Republicans in power, before you go in the camps that they have
exactly.
planned for you.
Mm-hmm.
All right. I wonder how soon that'll happen. Will there be de-gaying centers somewhere? Will there be reparative therapy camps that we'll all be sent to?
The Schick Center for de-gaying.
Exactly. Okay, 17.
Do they still have Schick centers?
They will now.
Oh, God.
Thanks for voting
back.
Republican. 17 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
I've never heard such a bunch of penny, any, dime, a dozen, two-bit half-wits exaggerating their enemies and bellyaching over the tiniest, stupidest personal problem.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
I said, are you gonna be my girl?
Bonza.
Just raiding that Quartus Grounding, the Fleet of 0380s, and there's an Australian band.
What?
23 minutes after
Jet,
the...
Jet, called Jet, oddly enough. Wow.
23 minutes after the hour. Karen in Chicago. Hi, Karen.
Hello.
Hello.
Hey, everybody.
Hi.
Hey, you had a previous caller who asked what was up with the polls being so ridiculously wrong.
I think we were talking specifically in the Harry Reid, Sharon Engel case. Yeah.
Right. Well, there's two theories about that, I think. One you've already discussed is that they were trying to hypnotize the Democratic voters into not going to the polls. It's already over.
Right.
It's
Harry Reid had already lost for the last 2 years, as you know.
Right, right. But the second one, though, is something that was to keep their base angry, to say, we was robbed. What do you mean he lost? He was supposed, Sharon Engel was supposed to win by a landslide. It was obviously Acorn.
Can I just say that, Karen, can I just say that she probably has not been pleasant to be around the last few days? And, you know, normally her personality is so sunny.
Yeah.
I bet you're right.
How many times do you think she's told her husband to man up or something?
Well, has anybody ever told her to be a little more girly?
Yeah, exactly. Well, Chris made that analogy. That's like telling a woman, no, don't be such a bitch. I mean, you know.
Well, in her case. But I just hope she's not planning Second Amendment strategies.
Yeah.
She threatened to. Solutions.
That could be what she's screaming at her husband about, to man up and get to the Second Amendment remedies.
I hope she doesn't withdraw from her family and treat them like the press and not talk to them ever.
When is she going to tell Representative John Boehner to man up with all this crying? God.
Put on your man pants.
Boner.
Beyond repealing Obamacare, we're going to do everything we can to stop this bill from being implemented, to make sure it never happens. And frankly, if we're successful, this will become the number one issue in a presidential election in 2012.
As soon as I take off my pink girly panties.
Another GOP to House takeover, another corporate sock puppet, family values adulterer as Speaker of the House. But this one's orange.
the orange boner.
There's a lot of tricks up our sleeve in terms of how we can dent this, kick it, slow it down to make sure it never happens. And trust me, I want to make sure this health care bill never, ever, ever is implemented.
Yay, pre-existing conditions.
Yay. Hey, 32 million people with insurance. Bye-bye.
But yay. Yay, the number one cause of bankruptcy in America is inability to pay health care costs. Good stuff.
I want to make sure sick kids don't get any health care and they die prematurely. Incredible agony.
See, when is the Democrats...
That's the top of my list.
Okay, one more boner.
We do not want to raise taxes on any American. Listen, Democrats still control the Congress for the next 2 months, and I suspect we're going to have a whale of a fight over taxes and spending.
No one is planning on raising any taxes.
No, Bush and the Republicans planned on raising these taxes 10 years ago when they set this up to expire.
Uh-huh.
You can keep your rich people tax cuts when we get the Bill Clinton surplus back, because you used it up. Where's the money, Lebowski?
George,
we got too much of a surplus. It means you're being taxed too much.
What a douche nozzle, boner.
Hello, George and Tempe.
He's such a douche nozzle. You know, I got a couple comments.
first and foremost, I saw Van Jones speak last night at ASU. And I'll tell you what, I've been feeling pretty down like a lot of people have about Obama and what he has and hasn't done. You know, we could say a lot of things about his strategy, but Van Jones said one thing that's very true. He said, you know, this guy volunteered to captain the Titanic after it hit the iceberg. Don't you forget that. And that's just really, really a great point. And, you know, John, you said something earlier, and it's one of the times, one of the very few times I disagree with things you say.
Hit me.
But you said that if we got rid of a filibuster, we'll come back up and bite the Democrats on the butt. And you know what? That doesn't make any sense, because if we get rid of it and the Republicans take office again, they'll get rid of it anyway. So we might as well get rid of it now and get some work
done. Yeah, there you go. Actually, good point.
You know, for 6 years of Bush, they said they were going to get rid of it, but they never did for the same reason. I mean, we can say whether or not, but the Democrats and Republicans together will never get rid of it, because it'll always be there to protect either one when they're down.
Yeah, but they're not using it. They're abusing it. That's the problem.
Of course. I'm agreeing with you, so reform it. But I'm telling you, these two parties will never get rid of it.
Well, two words why they won't get rid of it. Harry Reid.
Yeah, maybe. Well, I think the GOP wants to keep it, too. They could have gotten rid of it for 6 years in the Bush administration. They chose not to.
I think the Democrats are a little more forward-looking, you know, because they know that they're going to be in the minority someday in the Senate. It's going to happen. And they're going to need it as a tool to fight the Republicans.
You can disagree with me on much better stuff than that.
Terry in Leesburg, Virginia, on the Weeper of the House.
Hey, Mama, I just can't get over this video. He's crying for his younger self.
I know.
He's crying for himself in the past tense.
I know.
Not for the people he's supposed to represent who are suffering right now, as if having a few crappy jobs is something to blubber about all these years later. It's infuriating to me. It's so insulting.
Well, I mean, it literally, you think, you're watching it going, is that really as self-involved as it seems? Oh, yes, it is.
It is.
The sad orange rabbit is crying for himself. Yeah.
Well, he's an American success story. He's a tavern keeper's son who worked many hard, crappy jobs so he can become powerful enough to only support rich people.
I got news for him.
And spend most of his time in a tavern.
I worked a lot of crappy jobs when I was a kid, too.
Me, too.
I don't cry about it.
Yeah, exactly.
What a pansy.
All right, let's stop it.
What happened to my man pants? Someone stole my man pants.
Rick in Minneapolis.
Hi, Stephanie.
Hello.
This is about the filibuster controversy.
Yes.
You're right. Neither party will get rid of it. What the Democrats need to do to get the Republicans to respect them is to use it. And here's how they need to use it. A Democratic senator needs to say, if a bill comes to us from the House that does not have a majority of Democrat support, I will filibuster it.
Okay. 29 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Hey, Billy, who'd you rather bone?
Stephanie Miller.
Or Jack Nicholson?
Jack Nicholson now or 1974?
74.
Jack Nicholson.
34 minutes after the hour. Lynn in Colorado Springs on the filibuster. Hi, Lynn.
Hi, how are you?
Good, go ahead.
Good. I was wondering about the filibuster and why we don't enforce it. For example, I heard that the Republicans would have to read for the phone from the phone book for hours and hours and hours.
You know what? Sonny just wrote me about this as well. Why we shouldn't do away with it? We'd change how it's used. Let's go back to the good old days where here's your phone book and your porta potty.
Uh-huh.
You want the Republicans to stop abusing the filibuster? Make them do it in front of a camera. Yep. Sunshine is the best disinfectant.
Absolutely.
And by the way, one of my Twitter folks writes in that it hasn't been actually used.
We just went out every time and go, okay, you win. You filibustered it.
Right. Yeah, well, and the good news is now there's all kinds of cameras. How many C-SPANs is there now?
Ooh.
Three of them.
Exactly.
Well,
thanks.
That's another reason why the Democrats need to man up and grow a pair, because the Republicans didn't even filibuster. They threatened the filibuster. Mm-hmm. I say make them do it. Make them pull a Jimmy Stewart in the end of Mr. Smith Goes to Washington and have it on camera. And
yeah, don't flinch when
they
fake hit you.
Well, when Strom Thurmond did it against civil rights, we didn't have cameras. Now we do.
Yeah. John, what were you saying about one of your Twitter friends?
I just had a Twitter guy write in saying, let me find it, just saying that it was really, they blame Reid. They said that there were many times when they wanted to do it, but in fairness, let me find here. Collieran says, since I don't have a phone, the GOP never actually filibustered. They just threatened it, and Reid folded. Thanks.
Well, yeah.
You know what I mean? I say make them do it, Democrats. Make them show what teabags they are and have it be on camera. Let them read from the phone book. Make them filibuster. Let Americans see what this really is, and let Americans have the debate over what it is they're filibustering.
Harry Reid is no one, Nancy Pelosi. I will say that. We need to do a brief salute to Nancy Pelosi.
Yep.
Yes.
Good story about this in the paper today. History will judge Speaker Nancy Pelosi more kindly than voters did Tuesday. Pelosi rates more than an asterisk as the first woman to hold the office. She helped lead her party back to power in 2006 and played a key role in the Democrats' takeover of Congress and the White House in 2008. With her, Democrats had significant success seizing a moment of one-party government to pass landmark legislation. I mean, that, I wonder, you know, that's the problem, John. They passed a lot of good bills through the House. She did everything she was asked to do. And you're right, the Senate was the problem.
They knew they had to do it in Obama's first 2 years because one thing Rahm Emanuel had right was that the GOP was going to make major gains this year. And Nancy Pelosi's work saved lives. This health care bill, there's people who will be alive who would not be alive were it not for this bill, despite all of its many flaws.
The Democratic stimulus with tax relief and public works spending, historians will no doubt praise it. The smaller tax cuts and jobs bills and the maligned bank and business bailouts initiated, of course, under a Republican president for saving the country from a second Great Depression. Democrats had promised voters they would act, and they did. Once Republicans called attention to various porky morsels needed to grease these bills through Congress and the federal debt incurred, the Democratic agenda seemed to many financially hard-pressed Americans like expensive activism. Pelosi was winning on the House floor but losing the debate outside the Beltway. I thought a good summation, though. Nancy Pelosi.
No regrets, because we believe we did the right thing and we worked very hard in our campaigns to convey that to the American people.
And she talked to about talking to her caucus.
I have a conversation with my caucus, have a conversation with my family, and pray over it and decide how to go forward.
Yeah, as to whether she's going to be.
There are rumors that she is going to, in fact, run for a House Minority Leader.
Okay.
So, yeah.
Barbara in Michigan. Hello, Barbara.
Hi.
Hi.
I understand that Mitch McConnell, after the primary, tried to kiss up to Rand Paul, took him down to Washington, introduced him to a lot of the big money Republican donors, and expected to get some gratitude. And the day that he got elected, they asked Rand Paul if he was going to vote for McConnell, and he basically said, only because no one else is running.
Oops. Going to be awkward. Yeah. Frosty. Let's go to Mike in Jackson Hole. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome. Hi, Mike.
Yeah, hey, how you doing?
Good, go ahead.
Okay. Listen, the Republicans are very effective at labeling people, you know, Obamacare, turning the word liberal into a dirty word, that kind of thing. I have kind of a proposal for the people who are progressive of labeling the people who got the 2% tax cuts 2%ers. When I was watching the post-election interviews, all the interviewers were, you know, using this long mouthful about the Bush era tax cuts, et cetera, et cetera. And the spin doctors came around and they immediately went into the middle class tax cuts. I think if we use the term 2%ers, I think that might be a great
upper 2%.
Yeah, upper 2%er.
Well, upper 2% is what I call them.
But make it simple. Just call them 2%ers. Because the Republicans are very smart at being simple. They appeal to something very simple. If you go back to FDR, how he vilified the corporate, the greedy corporate guys. How Truman would vilify the Congress because it was a do nothing kind of Congress.
Right. Well, you know, it's Gene just wrote me a nice word switch from McConnell. It's not health care. Now it's the health spending bill. Right. You know. So you're right. They do it all the time. It's the
he's
like
smarter
Frank Luntz
than they
thing.
Psyops.
Mm-hmm. Yes, exactly.
But the Democrats screwed up because they never should have called it health care reform. They should have called it health insurance reform from the very beginning, and then you would have had people get behind it.
Yes, or Medicare for All, as we've said many, many times.
If they'd gone for Medicare for All, the Republicans would have supported it. Americans would have supported it.
Here's something I do support, and that is the fight, 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 fight between the Tea Party and the Republicans. Go! Fight, fight, fight! The headline is, and you know it pains me to read it.
Oh?
Republican senators fight over failure. Long simmering tensions within the Republican Party spilled into public view yesterday as the pragmatic and conservative wings of the GOP blamed each other in blunt terms for the party's failure to capture the Senate.
The pragmatic wing, I like it.
With Tea Party-backed candidates going down, down, down in Delaware, Colorado, Nevada, depriving Republicans of what would have been a 50-50 Senate, a block of prominent senators and operatives said party purists like Palin and DeMint had foolishly pushed nominees too conservative to win and too, well, stupid and unqualified.
Marco Rubio spit out his tea.
Movement conservatives pointed the finger right back at the establishment, accusing the National Republican Senatorial Committee of squandering millions on a California race that wasn't close at the expense of offering additional aid in places like Colorado, Nevada, and Washington. Lindsey Graham said, if you think what happened in Delaware is a win for the Republican Party, then we don't have a snowball's chance to win the White House. Trent Lott said, we did not nominate our strongest candidates. Thank you, Captain Understatement.
Yeah.
A Republican senator said Senator DeMint was the big loser. He said, it's like you're on the 5-yard line ready to score, and the quarterback calls the play, and some member of your team tackles one of your members and keeps you from scoring. If the establishment is doing finger-pointing this morning, it's because their $8 million gamble in California didn't pay off, said a source close to DeMint. They're referring to Carly Fiorina, of course,
right.
Lost by 10 points to Barbara Boxer, despite all the money they funneled in here.
So yesterday.
Yes, indeed she is now.
Conceding is.
So yesterday.
A Republican strategist said, I'm glad Jim DeMint is serving as the loyal opposition within our party. So then Rush Limbaugh took issue with a statement Karl Rove made about the lesson learned in nominating O'Donnell. He argued that Engel and O'Donnell lost because they were abandoned by party elites. Huh? Limbaugh said Christine O'Donnell could have won were it not for all the backbiting after her primary victory. Oh, please.
And the
there is
fight.
Not a universe that Christine O'Donnell could have won in.
There's a certain beauty in Karl Rove finally being right about something, then being punished for it.
I know. Exactly. Let's go to Jimmy in New Mexico. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Jim.
Hello.
Hello.
Oh,
hi.
Hi, everybody. I just wanted to say two things. First off is when we did have control of the Senate, and all the other callers are saying the same thing about we should have invoked the filibuster, but the Dems always folded, and, you know, okay, I give up. And then the other thing I wanted to know is if corporations are considered people, how come they don't have to pay taxes?
Exactly.
Yeah, how do you have that both ways? You're a good point. Good point. Mm-hmm. You're the smartest boy in class.
Exactly.
Okay. Brian.
The ones who hate gays always want it both ways.
Byron in Minnesota.
Yeah.
Hello.
I never really understood the argument against Obamacare from the Republicans. They've always said that, you know, it hurts small businesses. But what about the people who work for the small businesses who can't afford health insurance for, say, their kids or their family?
Right.
I mean, I work for a small business. I get paid maybe $24,000 a year. And I have a 1-year-old daughter, and I can barely afford the bills while paying for health care for her.
Right. Yes.
I mean,
well,
here's
a tip. Almost nothing the Republicans have said about health care is true.
That's right.
So let's start with that and then move forward from there. Yeah, I mean, really, that's one of them, John. It really is hard to believe. You're going, what? How did they somehow getting 32 million Americans insurance? So we're now at, what, the 95% rate?
Mm-hmm.
How did that become a bad thing?
Exactly. And we got to stop calling it Obamacare. Call it Obama Cares, you know, because the opposite of Obamacare is pale indifference. And that's what they want. They want to go back to a party that what did George Bush do for health care, kids, in 8 years? What did he do to help health care from being the number one cause of bankruptcy in our country? Nothing. They're punishing this guy for being a class traitor. And that's what it's about. And the fact is, it's really easy. I dream of finding beautiful women who like being lied to as much as the Tea Party.
You know, Sarah Palin said that. America didn't even want health reform. It's like, really? Americans wanted to continue going bankrupt over health care. I mean, now that it's done, it's interesting how they love to minimize it. Oh, that wasn't a problem. Health care wasn't a problem in our country. It's like, what? Yes, it was. It was, as you say, John, how is the number one cause of bankruptcy not a problem?
Exactly. It's a national health care crisis. I mean, you care about America, keeping America strong. You call yourself a patriot, but you don't care about saving American lives. You call yourself a capitalist, but you're afraid of competition from a public option or Canadian drugs. You're none of these things, Republicans. You're not patriots. You're not capitalists. And don't get me started on how unchristian you are trying to deny health care to your fellow citizens.
The ecclesiastical mook.
The ecclesiastical mook has chimed in.
Yeah!
Thank you.
Cynthia in Minneapolis. Hi, Cynthia.
There's fart jokes coming, folks, I promise.
Hello.
Hey, guys, it's nice to talk with you.
You too.
I just wanted to make sure that you all realized after I was walking my formerly abused dogs while you read the statistics, so I'm sorry it's taken me so long to call in, but three of the casualties on Tuesday were those judges in Iowa who sanctioned gay marriage. And I think that that not only is a terrible thing for us now, but it sort of points to a broader problem that, you know, we approach elections, you know, in these tantrums and in these snits, and we think, oh, well, you know, we can make up for this later, you know, overturn legislation, whatever. But, you know, I mean, the judiciary has been stacked by Republicans for so many decades that, you know, the Citizens United was just the natural outcropping of this. And I think that we need to be much more, you know, like aware when we vote that it's not just what's happening day by day that we have to worry about. It's decades to come. And we finally had some reason happening in Iowa. And I'm a native of the state, and I'm very proud of my state for what they did do in regard to gay marriage. But, you know, this sort of points to a broader problem that, you know, there are some things that are going to take decades and decades and decades to overturn simply because we haven't paid enough attention to what's been happening in the judiciary.
Yep. One of the many, many reasons why people should not have stayed home Tuesday. But all right, 46 minutes after the hour. More importantly, I have Quaid news in the celebrity stack.
There's Quaid news?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, boy. What'd they do now?
46. Do you not understand the tease in the radio business?
Damn it!
46
I've only
minutes.
Been in this business for 18 years. I still don't get it.
46 minutes after the hour. You can only hear about that if you come back on the Stephanie Miller Show. What the hell was that?
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
Ah, yeah. That is a funny LA Times headline. The boner stands firm on his agenda?
Yes.
That sounds like those Disney animators slipping pornographic images into the cartoons.
I'd like to thank Porn Valley on Twitter for sending that to me.
John, have you ever woken up with a weeping orange boner?
No, I haven't, but I have penicillin in case the day comes.
This is what I was talking about. This just in. U.S. jobs adds unexpected 151,000 jobs.
Just
Beth in Minneapolis. Hi, guys. Both the September and October jobs numbers are twice as good as they were predicted to be. The numbers just came out within the last hour.
Yeah.
The U.S. economy added 151,000 jobs in October, and the September number of jobs was revised upward.
Those would have been helpful before the election, actually. That would have been nice to get that out there.
Good job. Good job, America. Good job. Put it in R. Good idea. Now, let's go back to the losing 700,000 jobs a month that we were losing under George Bush. Good job. All right. Okay.
What?
More importantly, one dream of mine that did die on election day, Randy Quaid and his wife did not run as Tea Party candidates on a write-in ballot somewhere. They didn't show up even for that.
Well,
my dream.
They were in Canada. They really couldn't.
I'm going to cry over the loss of my dream. Yes, there were no shows again in court in Santa Barbara. They had been scheduled to appear for an arraignment on felony vandalism charges, but for the third time in 2 weeks failed to appear. As you recall, I hadn't heard the details of this. You remember when they tried to move back into their old house that they had sold years ago because they thought there was some sort of clerical error in which the house still belonged to them or something.
Whatever.
This is just weird.
Maybe they thought they had a time machine.
The alarm at the Quaid's former home went off in Santa Barbara. The Quaid's had disabled the home's security system, removed the cameras, blocked the front door with heavy pots, and dismantled a children's wooden play structure to erect barriers in the foliage.
Wow.
They're such a special kind of crazy. because they're trying to avoid Hollywood star whackers.
Star whackers.
That killed Heath Ledger and something other.
What? Well, they think the star whackers are a specific group of people.
Yes. They're chasing them.
Yes. Mm. Star whackers.
Chasing Cousin Eddie. Yeah.
You know, you don't need to keep your kids off drugs and scare them with propaganda. Just give them a weekend with the Quaids. That's all you need. Have the Quaids come stay a weekend, and your kid will be straight for life.
Well, he's not just a comedic act. I mean, he was in Brokeback Mountain. He's the guy who hired the two guys in Brokeback Mountain to go up on the mountain and have...
That's right. He's the homophobe guy.
Yes.
He saved the world in Independence Day.
That's right.
And he got an Oscar nomination for the Last Detail with Nicholson. He's a great actor. It's a real damn shame.
And it's just weird how crazy he's gotten.
Yes. Well, we should have known.
You want the Shore Patrol?
When two men in America can't have sex when they got a lot of time to kill watching sheep for weeks on end.
I am the damn Shore Patrol. I get this man a beer and some acid.
All right.
Superficial writing. Apparently, Barack Obama and George Bush really do have a lot in common. They both hate Kanye West. how weird was that? How long George Bush talked about how obsessed he was? The most disgusting thing that happened during his presidency
is
that Kanye
West
said he doesn't care about black people?
Yeah.
Really?
Huh. Yeah.
So, the whole 9/11 happening on your watch? No.
He doesn't care about 98% of white people either. So, you know, Kanye was really wrong on that.
Yes. Superficial writes, say what you will about him being a puppet that sent untold millions to their deaths so Dick Cheney's old company could secure a gluttony of no-bid contracts, but don't call the man a racist. Really? That was the most... So what actually happened during Hurricane Katrina, that wasn't disgusting.
No.
All people that died there due to your neglect. No, it was the Kanye West.
Anthrax was a bit of a buzzkill, but that was the worst.
This just in, another breaking news. Kanye West, still an asshat. He said... he's responding to George Bush's remarks that was the most disgusting moment of his presidency. Turns out Kanye actually feels pretty bad about it and can now relate after the Taylor Swift incident, which he compares to Hurricane Katrina.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. He said, I definitely can understand the way he feels, Bush, to be accused of being racist in any way because the same thing happened to me. I got accused of being a racist. You know, with Bush, it was a lack of compassion with him not taking the time to rush to New Orleans. With me, it was a lack of compassion cutting someone off in their moment. But nonetheless, I think we're all quick to pull a race card in America. Who said it was because Taylor Swift was not white?
Nobody did.
No.
Absolutely
nobody. Everybody said
nobody.
It's because he's a douche. That's why.
Yeah. Yeah.
Exactly.
Or as Obama called him, he was a jackass.
Uh-huh.
Yes. That's what Superficial writes. Wait, were people seriously calling Kanye West a racist for interrupting Taylor Swift? I remember hearing things like jackass, drunken idiot, egomaniac, but I don't remember hearing racist.
No.
Wow. Thanks for playing really bad analogies, Kanye. Okay.
God, he's a jackhole.
You jackwagon?
The exciting thing?
What?
Cher is in the new Vanity Fair.
Oh, my God.
Oh, dear.
On Sarah Palin.
I got to play the indifferent straight card now.
she's a woman after our own hearts. Politically, Cher on Sarah Palin. I got so obsessed with C-SPAN that it was kind of interfering with my life. Sarah Palin came on, and I thought, oh, this is the end, because a dumb woman is a dumb woman. On Arizona Governor Jan Brewer, she's worse than Sarah Palin, if that's possible. The woman's like a deer in the headlights. She's got a handle on the services of the state. I wouldn't let her handle the remote control. And how about this one? The fine American share on paying taxes. I'd be willing to pay a lot more taxes because I make a lot more money. It really should fall on people like me to get together and do things to help the people in this country. If you're not worrying about how to put food on your table, you should be worrying about why other people don't have food on their table.
Right. And yet she was married to Sonny Bono.
What? But that seemed almost borderline Christian, didn't it, John?
No, it didn't. Not quite borderline. No. But it's great for Sharon Engel. Sharon Engel has a post-it note saying, note to self, don't offend all Latinos in my state today. Like, she learned it really well.
Yes.
I mean, it's like, you don't run for president. That's a great sign. Yeah, there was a lot of gay folks who voted for Republicans, and there's a lot of minorities who stayed home. But damn it, man, the Latinos showed up.
Yeah, exactly.
And they know who's supporting them.
Exactly.
And it's a beautiful thing to see that it turns out race baiting all Latinos in your state, not a good strategy.
Who knew? 58
who knew?
Minutes after the
Ken
hour.
Sabe.
Yeah.
Right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller's show. Welcome to it. Happy Friday. 6 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEPH-1-2, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. StephanieMiller.com, the website. You can email us all there. John Fugelsang in our New York bureau for all three hours of Fridays with Fugelsang.
Oh,
look,
New York.
It's another unsolicited testimonial to the power of the Steph Show and the Steph sponsors, in this case, Cedarside. Yay. One of our fabulous new sponsors. Shannon writes, Steph, as a breeder of dogs, I prided on myself seeing that every puppy I sent out the door had the best pops, start vaccines, deworming, heartworm, preventative. I started each puppy on Frontline. After listening to your show, I did more research and was horrified to learn I'm actually harming the puppies I love so much. My vet was over-examining puppies last week, and I told her what I'd heard on your show about the fact that it can reduce their life expectancy by 25%, and she said, of course it can. It's poison. I threw it away, my remaining Frontline, placed my order for Cedarside, and put a link to Cedarside on the front page of my website with the phrase, stop poisoning your pets, so I can reach all my old customers who frequently catch in. Shannon, thank you. Oh, dumb crick stack. Here's
dumb
a
crick stack?
Dumb crook
what?
Stack.
Oh.
Did I say crick?
You said crook.
Crick stack. Crook.
Yeah, it's Friday.
Dumb crook. Before you get pulled over by the cops, remember to take the dead body out of your trunk. Just public service announcement. Deputies in a suburban Denver found a dead body in the trunk of a car parked outside the jail and arrested the driver on a murder charge.
Oh, dear.
Mm-hmm.
Of all the places
to
leave
jail
dead bodies.
He went to the jail to surrender on an outstanding warrant from another unspecified incident. And forgot to move
so
the body.
So he went there to surrender.
On something else. Some other incident. Okay.
Oh, my God.
Mm.
Was meth involved?
I didn't say.
Okay.
Okay. Brazilian court ruled this week McDonald's must pay a former franchise manager $17,500 because he gained 65 pounds while working there for a dozen years. Can I retroactively sue the Palace Theater in Lackport, New York, where I ate my weight in popcorn every night when I worked at the concession stand?
Or Fung Lum, where you ate your weight in goldfish crackers every night.
You know, I've had a lot of bad jobs. And I gained a lot of weight at those jobs, and I want it back.
At Busch Gardens in Williamsburg, when I wore the lederhosen, the polyester lederhosen, I worked a dessert line at the pizza restaurant in the Germany section.
Where's my little tiny violin?
Mm-hmm.
Where's our money?
I gained a lot of weight there, too.
Our lot of crappy jobs. Oh, boner.
Mm-hmm.
You weeping orange boner.
So he's getting money because he sued McDonald's because he got fat by eating their food?
Yes.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
I have to go join the Republican Party now.
See, this story, you know, some people judge, Chris.
Mm-hmm.
We are problem solvers here at the Stephanie Miller Show. We're helpers.
We sometimes judge.
A Nevada woman has admitted letting her 12-year-old son drive her car because she was drunk. To me, I think, problem solver.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's a solution.
Exactly.
It's a drinking solution.
Exactly. All right.
What?
Speaking of which, you know, I used to think I loved him. Now I know for sure. David Cassidy got a DUI.
Oh,
Keith
yeah.
Keith Partridge was thrown into a different kind of bus, the paddy wagon.
Yeah. Well, do they still have paddy wagons?
I don't know. He had an empty bottle of bourbon in the back seat. Oops.
Oh.
See? I thought I loved him, and he would have been perfect for me.
He still is perfect for you.
He is perfect for me. I was right.
He's incarcerated.
When I was 12, I was right.
Drunk and incarcerated.
As an Irish American, I'm very offended by paddy wagon, Chris.
Yes. Well.
Screaming out the words I'd read. I think I love you.
Do you know how many times I sang that into a hairbrush?
Yeah.
Mm.
It's a great song.
Mm. All right. Julie in Seattle writes, Steph, if I were Obama, I'd pocket the $200 million a day and ask for asylum from the Indian government. That's funny. Wah, 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 wah. Yeah, Michelle Bachmann pulled that out of her ass on television that the president's trip is costing the American taxpayer $200 million a day.
Well, no.
And one-tenth of the Navy is a company.
They're not good with math on the right.
Well, Fox News pulled it out of their ass yesterday morning, and by yesterday afternoon and evening, it became a factual news story on their network.
Just
the
FYI.
The Navy had to have a press conference to deny it.
Hmm. Just FYI, Afghanistan costs us $190 million a day.
Yeah.
Is there really anybody out there, Bueller, that thinks the president's trip is costing us $200 million a day?
But it doesn't matter. They don't even care if it's disinformation. They can just say they misspoke, they read it on the internet somewhere, well, and then yes. The fact is the seed is planted in the mind of the Fox viewer.
Well, what sucks is that other media and other news outlets started reporting it as fact, too.
Right.
Yeah. Yes. The liberal media, you mean?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Charles in Arlington, Virginia, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Charles.
Hi. I can't tell you how many times I've called Harry Reid's office to tell him that a filibuster isn't a filibuster if it isn't on TV.
Right. Mm-hmm. It's I mean, like that Nicole Kidman movie. It's, if it's not on TV, it didn't happen.
No, it's not news. It never happened. Mm-hmm. I've also talked to his staffers who find it, I think, kind of amusing because I think they've heard that call before.
Right.
Love your show. Listen
right.
every day.
Love you. Can't live without you. Okay. Bonnie in St. Augustine, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Bonnie.
Hi, Stephanie. How are you?
Good. Go ahead.
Stephanie, I've listened to you for quite a while, and my question is that I don't understand President Obama. I have young voters, my son and his friends, and they're all so disillusioned with Mr. Obama.
Mm-hmm.
And they voted because they felt they didn't have a chance. But I know a lot of young people who didn't because they feel so betrayed by the president. And actually, to a large extent, so do I. And it's not what he's done. It's what he hasn't done. It's like,
for instance?
Well, when you come over and you let people, when people say they're going to destroy you, okay, and you keep on putting your hand out, after a while, you know, a normal person would say, this isn't working, and change.
Right,
position.
But Bonnie, don't you think that's what he ran on? I mean, when you think of what people think of Barack Obama, they think of that speech. You know, we got some gay friends in the red states. We worship an awesome God in the blue states. I mean, he ran on bipartisan outreach, didn't he? I mean, how could he not have tried it?
Problem. Outreach is when there is some sort of compromise back, and there is none. And that's the problem that we have. When you are an intelligent man like Mr. Obama is, and which I supported him, by the way, I voted for him. I voted straight Democrat
right.
all the way. I just want that clear.
Mm-hmm.
I'm saying, what is wrong here? I mean, you can't just keep on putting your hand out to people who say they're going to destroy you. And I think what my son...
So what should he have done? I mean, he still got an unprecedented amount done despite complete obstructionism, don't you think?
Well, actually, no. I think he should have stuck to his guns. I think instead of when they wouldn't do what he wanted, he's saying, well, you're not going on break until I get something I want to sign. This is it. It is a difference between being a manager and a leader. And I think that's a lot is what happened with Mr. Obama. I think he did not have the experience when he came in to be able to negotiate this well. Now,
right, but then how did he get this unprecedented amount of legislation done? I mean, I agree with you. He has a PR problem, and he didn't. I mean, how is it that only 8% of us know that 95% of us got a tax cut? How is it that health care that gets 30 million more Americans insured and not dropped for pre-existing conditions is considered a bad thing?
Well, it's not a bad thing, but it was the compromise he went to get there. And that's
right, but we've compromised on everything in our history. Medicare, Social Security, we had to strengthen
everything.
It over time. Civil rights.
It wasn't even a compromise, a fair compromise. It was like, well, if I don't do this, then they won't do this, so I'll have to just give up.
But that's the very definition of a compromise.
Well, a compromise.
He never promised us single payer. You realize that, right?
You understand, if he would have just gone and let it be on the table, and even if it was to say defeated, most of the people would have been on his side and he wouldn't have lost them. It's like it was like he sold out whether he did or not.
Bonnie, I will believe you if you say we're an Obama voter and a Democratic voter, but yeah. What is your option? I mean, do you want to see Sarah Palin be president? Because that's the front runner right now on the Republican side. Do you want to see more of these kind of Republicans in?
You're missing my point.
No, but what is your options? What I'm saying is he may not have done everything perfectly, and he would probably agree with you.
Well, the thing is that maybe he should start changing now, start standing up for himself. You have said it so many times that they need to stand up for themselves. And
on
the health care bill, I just need to say one thing, because this is very important. My brother just passed away.
I'm sorry.
And do you know why he passed away? because he didn't have health care. He had to give it up because he couldn't afford it. And I want to say to all the Republicans out there, and when he had the cancer, the doctor said, well, you don't have to worry. People think that you get health care if you go to the emergency room. Mm-hmm. You do not get health care, Stephanie.
Not, well, certainly not long term for cancer, yeah, of course.
Long term, they will get you to stabilize you. But the doctors told him, oh, well, the cancer is slow growing, so you don't have to worry about it.
Right, but Bonnie, do you understand what you're saying is that your brother couldn't get insurance under Republican policies? He had a pre-existing condition. I mean, that's part of what...
You misunderstand. I agree with what he's doing. I think that he's done it wrong, but I also think that he's rolled over a little bit too much.
All right. Well said. All right, Bonnie, thank you. I mean...
He did campaign against a mandate. He didn't campaign for a public option, but Obama did campaign against a mandate, and that's what he wound up signing on to, but that's at the same reason why Mitt Romney is going to be screwed when he runs against him on it.
That's right.
Yeah, well, exactly. Well, you know, look, I understand, you know, everything that she's saying. It's just that literally, particularly, John, when you look at who is on the, you know, like, for instance, where was this, the committee chairman we're going to have? One of the results of the takeover, of course, is the future installation of the new chairman in all of these various committees.
Mm-hmm.
The Nonpartisan Center for Public Integrity just released a report. Finds that most of the likely incoming chairs have deep ties to the business community or the industries they will soon oversee.
Right.
So we're going...
We're screwed.
Like insurance companies.
Yeah, we're absolutely screwed.
I mean, for instance, Exhibit A, Joe Barton, that guy, the likely Energy and Commerce Committee chairman, he's the one that apologized to BP.
I'm sorry, BP.
For the oil spill.
And he's going to be in charge of energy policy in the House.
Yes.
Great.
I'm sorry you shot me in the face, Mr. Cheney.
18 minutes after the hour.
I weep for that half of Congress.
Right back with more Fridays with Fugle saying on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Come on, it's brilliant.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
Isn't she lovely? Isn't she wonderful? Isn't she lovely? Made from love.
Friggin' A. 23 minutes after the hour. Grant in Michigan, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Grant. Welcome. Hello, Grant.
Hi, Stephanie.
Hi.
First time caller, long time listener.
Go ahead.
Hey, I know that, even in this bad year for Democrats, I know that James Dobson and the gang over in Colorado Springs are probably real ticked off that a Republican just can't win a statewide race in Colorado.
Yeah.
Well,
that's true.
Whatever employees he has left, because he's had to lay off a whole slew of people, because nobody's supporting Focus on the Family anymore.
Yeah.
And, you know, one, they're not. Yeah, I mean, it's just falling apart. But
yeah.
I'd like to respond to something your last caller from Florida said. You know, I sell medical insurance, and this, you know, for people to say that, you know, the health reform wasn't a big deal and that it's half a loaf is better than nothing. And, you know, as of September 23rd, I'm never going to have to call parents again and tell them that their kids are declined. I really hated having to make those phone calls, and I'm so glad that passed. And my Congressman Gary Peters, he held on, and I worked for him, and I'm glad about that too. So it'll get better.
And I'm thrilled about it. I saw future Senator Bennett on TV last night, and he really seems great. I'm so happy Ken Buck lost.
Yeah, he's you know, Ken Buck, I think that just too extreme for Colorado. I saw on a blog somebody wrote that liberals have infested Colorado.
Liberals have always been in Colorado.
Yeah.
The Republicans don't rule Colorado.
Yes. We love you, Denver, City by the Bay. Thank you.
We love you, Denver, City by the Bay!
President Obama has invited Republican and Democratic leaders of the House and Senate to the White House on November 18th. He said the meeting is not just going to be a photo op. They will talk substantively about the problems facing the nation. Oh, good, because he's the number one problem facing the nation, according to Mitch McConnell. So I'm sure
that's exactly right.
He said hopefully this meeting will spill into dinner, which will become like the scene in Animal House, I imagine.
I hope he thanks them for getting him reelected this week.
Mm-hmm. He said, we can't afford 2 years of just squabbling, vowing to make a sincere and consistent effort to try and change how Washington operates. Oh, boy. Well, good luck with that. By the by, though, hey, I got a couple of guess the quotes for you. Who said, we make a grave mistake if we believe that tonight these results are somehow an embrace of the Republican Party?
Marco Rubio.
You're supposed to guess wrong, John. For God's sakes, pay attention to the game. Yes,
Charlie
Marco Rubio. No.
Marco Rubio really said that?
Yes.
Wow, I'm watching too much TV.
So you really did guess correctly.
Yes, Britt Hume said the Republican Party is not the beneficiary of some mandate this time around. A former John McCain advisor said, this isn't a pro-Republican vote. This is a repudiation of what we've seen the past 2 years. It's not an endorsement of Republican agendas. Michael Steele even said, there's still the people who say, well, we're not sure. We're not sure about Republican leadership. We're not sure about the direction. Paul Ryan, Republican of Wisconsin, said, this is not necessarily we love Republicans. This is change course. The country's on the wrong track. It'll be interesting to see how it comes out between them, though, and with the Mike Pences of the Republican Party, who vowed there'd be no compromise. Boehner, who he said, to the extent that Obama wants to work with us in terms of where we're going, I welcome it. I mean, this is going to be interesting to watch. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean.
Mm-hmm. And now they're going after Scott Brown. It's going to be beautiful.
By the way, the number one Tea Party target, yeah. Scott Brown, who's the first teabagger they got elected.
He's a rhino.
The vast majority of voters, by the way, speaking of exit polling, 64% continue to blame either Wall Street, 35%, or George Bush, 29%, for the troubled economy. Fully 78% of all voters support comprehensive immigration reform with a path to legal status, by far the most popular.
Right.
Let's see. They're more likely to support candidates who support an energy bill that cuts climate change pollution, according to polling. I mean, John, that is, I have to say, one of the disturbing things about how, at least this cycle, this time around, Republicans kind of won the PR war. Because if you look at poll after poll, voters want all of the things the Democrats are for.
Exactly. You're exactly right, Steph. And it's one of the many reasons why, if Obama's smart, he will get on all fours and crawl across broken glass to beg Howard Dean to come back into the fold. Because Howard Dean is the unsung hero of Obama's election. But the majority of Americans agree with Democrats. The majority of Americans want Medicare for all, when you ask them. They want Wall Street crookery to end.
Right.
People do not want Social Security to be privatized. They don't hate unions, and they want the troops to come back. Americans are not as douchey as this election would have you believe, but the Republicans are much better at spinning, man.
Well, guess what? Here's who they voted for. Tim Walberg, Republican of Michigan, a proud birther who has threatened to impeach President Obama, won his election over the Democrat.
Yeah, I hope they try too.
He said if President Obama does not follow the Republican mandate, he will force a government shutdown. He joins Representative Westmoreland, Republican of Georgia, who recently also threatened a government shutdown. Senator Jim DeMint, other leading Republicans have made clear they will force a showdown with Obama by holding general government funding bills hostage until health care is repealed.
And Bush admitted to torture, and Daryl Issa wants to investigate him for loans.
Yeah.
29 minutes after the hour, right back with Right Wing World on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
I've seen pictures, and I'm sorry. That girl had a brow ridge like a caveman.
True that. 34 minutes after the hour, reading from a blog. So America voted not for themselves, but to get back at Obama? Congratulations. We're a nation of 17-year-old girls who got a tattoo just to piss off our dads.
Yeah.
Next stop, Regretsville, USA. My God, Dad was right.
You get a tramp stamp.
Whatever. Chris in New Mexico, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Chris. Chris? Hello, Chris.
Hi.
Go ahead.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry. I'm just running around doing stuff. First of all, you are a killer broad, and I called my mom that who I adored, so it's a compliment.
Thank you.
And, can you kick me back to the screen I was running around doing stuff.
All right. Okay. He's drunk. Okay.
Oh,
good.
No. Poor guy.
Which makes this show much better. Trust me.
Yeah.
I'm drunk nearly every morning. Okay. Let's dive into the right-wing world, see what's doing, shall we, kids?
Please.
Pardon me. It's the drug-addled gas bag, Rush Limbaugh.
How did I end up as an American?
What?
With a guy who doesn't even like my country telling me how I have to live. How did that happen?
Oh, he hates America.
How did I end up with a guy who does not even respect the founding documents of this country?
Mm.
When people say that we must compromise with Obama, we are saying we must compromise on our freedom.
Mm.
Right.
Uh-huh.
Only Congress can declare war? That
I remembered how it happened, actually. It was,
Shut up! Just shut up! Just go away, bury yourselves in your rat holes, and don't come out till you win an election. When you win an election, you can put all these socialist wackos like Ruth Bader Ginsburg and Stephen Breyer all over the court.
Mm-hmm.
But until then, shut up!
Oh, the history is beautiful.
I know, it's isn't it, though?
Okay. Neil
Only
Cavuto.
Only the party of Reagan can memory loss be contagious.
Oh.
Oh, John Louise Fugelsang. Neil Cavuto.
We're not at war with each other. We're at war with a government that keeps trying to pit us against each other. And would sooner have us fighting over who pays more for this broken government than ever have us stop and think why anyone would want to pay more for this broken government. That's why the president's bending on taxes, because his argument's spent. And when it comes to new ideas, at least his ones are taxed.
What?
And right now, he's broke.
Oh, I see. We should only have to pay taxes if we like who's running the government. In his opinion, I see. The taxes should just be optional if you don't like the way the
president's going to bend on taxes because the Republicans will bend on so many other things. The deal-making is beginning right now. The rich are going to get to keep their tax cut for another couple of years. It's going to add more trillions to the deficit. The Republicans will sign off on it, and they're going to give Obama a few things he wants.
Yeah. The party
He'll be reelected. Right. Calm down. Get off the ledge, Democrats.
The party that that ran on shrinking the deficit is about to add, what is it, 700... trillion? What is it? I can't even count what the Bush tax cuts are going to be over time. Rudy Giuliani.
I love listening to Sarah Palin. I think it's disgusting that those Republicans said whatever they said to Politico. They should be ashamed of themselves.
And then they hide behind
disgusting. She has every right to run. If she can win the nomination, God bless her, she should get the nomination. We should let Republicans decide who the next nominee is going to be.
He must be the only person on earth that loves listening to Sarah Palin.
Yes, it's so soothing.
Yeah.
You cut him off before he could mention his leadership on 9/11, Steph. Can you play the rest of the clip?
Sorry.
Yeah.
Guys and gals.
I see. Until he decides to run for president, then he'll be saying all the same things about her that everybody has said. Like,
I think
for
Rudy's
instance,
trying to
she's
run for vice president.
Not qualified. Uh-huh. Okay.
Vice president of 9/11?
Oh, look, we all get to listen to more of Sarah Palin, Rudy.
Look what happened there in Delaware. It's a deep, deep blue state, and Christine O'Donnell did well for as much as she had thrown at her.
What?
You know, we have to admit that the GOP establishment, especially in her own state, they never got on board with her. So she had a lot of things thrown at her, and she did the best that she could, and she had a good run anyway. But
Really? A good run now is losing by 20 points? 25 points? Really? Okay.
Especially,
I wish more good runs like that on them.
Yeah, especially when you've been endorsed by Sarah Palin. Is she trying to rewrite history here?
Wow.
O'Donnell got a drubbing.
That was a good run. Oh, okay. All right, Charles Krauthammer on the Brit Bear.
Brit Bear.
Obamacare was clearly the overriding issue in the campaign because it stood for,
it
was the epitome of what Obama had tried to do, of the liberal agenda. It was not, as Obama pretended yesterday, a response to a crisis. It was an idea that Democrats have had for 50 years. It represents a principle of theirs, and it was soundly rejected with Democrats all across America either losing over it or running away from it.
Soundly rejected by 19% of all eligible voters came out and soundly rejected it.
Yep.
And by the way, in all the exit polling, no one, they didn't mention health care. The economy.
Yeah. And jobs.
Yeah.
Please.
No one complained about health care.
Nope.
It's a dead deal for the Republicans, and it's gonna blow up in their faces.
I mean, do they really think that's what Americans want to go back and relitigate health care over and over again?
No, but they have no agenda. They have to do that, because otherwise they've got to actually come up with ideas to do stuff.
Yeah. Newt Gingrich on the Fox News on Pelosi.
I think if she had to do it over, she'd ram through health care and ram through the spending programs and take the risk.
I guess she couldn't hope to have her career end as spectacularly as yours did as Speaker of the House.
Hmm.
Hmm. All right.
As far as I know, she hasn't left any husband at all. She's been
no.
with the same
same guy. Weird.
Yeah.
He doesn't recognize that pattern.
No.
Married 200 times less than Gingrich.
Yes.
Tim in Ann Arbor, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Tim.
Hi, Stephanie. Yeah. Just listening to what you guys are talking about now sort of makes my head spin. We certainly live in bizarre times. Did you hear me?
Yep, absolutely. Go ahead.
Okay. Yeah, well, I'm really getting back to that last caller that sort of disgruntled progressive that was knocking Obama. And I really get tired of both sides, people that are just so totally unrealistic. Do they know have they ever studied history? Do they understand what Lincoln went through in the Civil War? Do they understand what FDR had to do back in the 30s? Do they understand how hard it is to have
Well, tough job, and particularly when you're taking over for George Bush. So, yeah, absolutely.
I mean, incremental change, that's the way things work, unfortunately. Change is hard. We're going to go through some rough times here. I mean, tighten our seatbelts, man. I mean, it's going to be...
Well, and the president said that, Tim. It's just doing the tough, grinding work of actually putting the change into motion, has what they've been doing. And they've been doing everything that we voted for them for. And it's... But you're right, it is tough. And it's nice to have someone recognize that for a change.
It's
he was like starting my car in the winter in Buffalo. Once he got going, it was good.
Yes.
He just had a little trouble. People seem to be startled when I answer the phone these days. I don't know why. They're surprised to talk to me. George in Chicago, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show, and surprisingly, I'm Stephanie Miller. Hello, George.
Hi.
Hi.
You asked the rhetorical question a little while ago. Who would believe that story that Obama's trade mission to South Asia is going to cost $2 billion and et cetera, et cetera?
Well, apparently everyone that watches Fox News believes
and
that.
One of my coworkers, with whom I had a huge shouting match yesterday at the end of the day, and he kept insisting it was true. And I won't embarrass this gentleman by saying his name
The
air of a national radio show.
Say his name.
Oh, it's all right.
Say his name.
I can't.
He ain't listening.
He's an idiot, but he's I don't want to torture
him. All right,
Let me ask, has Michelle Bachmann or false Fox News issued a retraction yet?
No, of course not.
Not as far as I know,
Of course not. They never retract their lies.
As far as I know, they're still reporting that number.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, they've
Please.
Dropped it. But,
did
you know,
they
the
retract?
The seed is planted in the minds of the viewers, and that's all that really mattered in the first place.
Yeah, Fox News really doesn't retract anything.
Bill in Ann Arbor, Michigan. Hello, Bill.
Hello.
Hi.
Hi. Oh, hi. Yeah, I wanted to thank you guys for all you do. You've made a bad situation kind of fun, actually.
Yeah, why not? Gotta laugh or you'll cry all day.
Oh, that's the truth. And also I wanted to say, but President Obama's kind of bothering me right now. I do support him and all he's done. I think he's done a really good job, actually. But he's kind of starting to remind me a little bit of my dog when I would take it for walks. It would want to go up to these dogs that wanted to eat its face off and be friends with them. And he never quite got the idea that that's what they wanted to do. They just wanted to eat his face off.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I think he needs to get the idea that it's eat or be eaten out there right now.
Yep, yep. All right. I dismissed him after he called his dog it. All right. Just saying.
Well, he's right. I mean, Obama's really, I assume someone in Obama's inner circle reads the newspaper and watches the news, right? Like, someone knows how in trouble he is with his own base, right?
Well, I think that that's part of what I think he was very reflective in the news conference. I think so, too.
But I think he's got to ratchet it up now and start bringing the fight to the Republicans. Obama should be doing what Howard Dean had him do, which was going for conservative votes. We know in the same community that a lot of these teabaggers are voting against their own interest. And why is Obama not trying to bring the fight to them and let them know this? He's not bringing the fight. He's talking about compromise with people who are talking about getting him out of office.
Well, how are you going to? But that's the problem, John. Now you have even less majorities. You don't have the House. What does that mean?
Inspiring your base does have something to do with getting reelected.
Well, how does that help you get anything done? I mean, and I'm no offense, John, but in some ways, people like you guys help to have this happen, I think, because you guys do it a lot on this show and we fight about it.
We fight about
it.
It's, yeah,
it's naysaying the president at every turn, and the Democrats, and this is like, oh, now he ought to do this. Well, now what is he supposed to do with not having the House, and he has less of a majority in the Senate?
Okay, I would not say that we've naysayed Obama at every turn, first of all.
But
you said every turn, and that's patently unfair.
A lot of, what I'm saying is not just on this show. I mean, obviously, there's been a lot of carping, and obviously, a lot of people didn't turn out in this election. It was that kind of, oh, I didn't get my unicorn that farts glitter. And so,
this is historically completely consistent. This happened to Reagan, it happened to Clinton, and it would have happened to Bush were it not for 9/11, okay?
I don't know if you were here yet, but, you know, I did this one poll that a third of gays voted Republican.
No, we talked about
cycle.
That, yeah, and that's completely
literally
crazy. But that's not because we criticized Obama. I mean, you know, look, blame Alan Cumming for that. Blame the gay figures who came out and completely misrepresented Obama's entire stance. Chris and I have both defended what Obama's doing on Don't Ask, Don't Tell. It's frustrating, but we understand the logic behind trying to have Congress overturn it rather than having the courts do it. You know, so it's a bit more complicated than just that.
Yeah, so
and a lot of us are more loyal to ideology and what we think is right than to an individual.
Well,
and,
what I'm saying is we elected a lot of horror shows in this cycle for whatever reason that, you know, and now we'll see how it plays out. But to now go, well, now the president needs to do this. It's like, well, we didn't get out and vote and support him and give him, the majorities that he needed to try and get more stuff.
I think it's unfair for you to put us in the same camp as the gays who voted against Obama.
I'm not putting you in the same camp. I'm saying there has been a lot of naysaying, and I get letters all the time about the naysaying on this show from you guys.
But at least you have a show that's not a blind ditto head following of Obama all the time.
That would be boring.
Competing points of view, and that, you know, how lots of talk about the Democratic.
That's exactly why. What I'm saying is, yes. Yeah, so of course we allow debate on this show. We right wingers go to the front of the line when they call.
But you're complaining about us having debate.
Yes.
No, but this is the history.
It's Friday,
of being,
and I'm tired of everybody. 46 minutes after the hour.
It's a good thing. This is a good thing. It's
That's
the history
right.
of being progressive
That's
in this
right.
country. The status quo is always going to be more organized than the idealistic folks like us who want to change things, right? When you embrace being a progressive, you're embracing a lifelong struggle. We're never going to reach utopia. The status quo douchebags are always going to be better organized than us. And, yeah, liberals fight amongst each other way too much, and it slows down progress. But it's how progress happens. It's how Obama has built coalitions.
See, I'm fighting with you now to go to my commercial break so that I can buy more wine this weekend. 47
and more
minutes,
Cedarside.
47 minutes after the hour. Right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Yeah, the whole thing seems a little twisted to me.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
Don't jump. It's going to be fine. It is the Stephanie Miller Show. 52 minutes after the hour.
The listeners hate it when mom and dad start fighting.
Did we just have a tiff on the air? Did we have our first on air tiff? This is going to make the key party really awkward this weekend.
Lori writes, Steph, I hope you saw Anderson Cooper's interview with Michelle Bachmann. She suggested that President Obama use video conferencing instead of traveling to India. Normally, we're all for go-to-meeting here at the Stephanie Miller Show. However,
you're the leader of the free world.
Yeah, it might be good to have a face-to-face meeting.
Yeah,
yeah, that's how she's going to cut the deficit. Oh, she's such a ridiculous woman.
Yeah, they're not mad at the Republicans who sent our jobs to India. They're mad at our president for going to India.
Yes. Michelle Bachmann indicated she will run for the chairmanship of the House Republican Conference, the number three position in the House GOP. That would pit her against the establishment pick, Representative Jeb Hensarling, who has already been endorsed by Eric Cantor. Kids, don't fight. You're all crazy. Bachmann announced she wants to start a constitutional conservative caucus to stop any bill from passing that she deems unconstitutional, such as a stimulus or health care.
Right. She has to be able to spell it first.
She touted the plan on Glenn Beck's radio show. He loved it. Loved it. Loved it.
Didn't challenge her on it at all.
Aaron in Los Angeles, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome. Hi, Aaron.
Hi.
Happy
Friday.
Thank you. You too.
So I take issue with this whole Democratic strategy now that they're just rolling over on the tax cuts for the top 2% and just the fact that they're willing to compromise. So I wanted to give the Democrats a branding tip and say that they need to call that a stimulus for the rich and start coming out against stimulus for the rich. And the Republicans hate nothing more than stimulus, so let's see how they, you know, respond to that.
It's the deficit increase program. Exactly. Exactly.
Well, remember, it's only class warfare when you fight for the bottom 95% of the population.
Okay, let's go to Keith in Idaho. Oh, Coeur d'Alene, Idaho. Hi, Keith.
Hello.
Hi, Keith. Go ahead.
Oh, hi, Steph. Love you.
Love you back.
Hey, listen, I think you guys have more of a voice over the progressive people than you think you do. I mean, during the healthcare debate, I really think that you guys lost the 2010 election, and now Ed Schultz right now is losing 2012.
Uh-huh. How's that?
Because he's being pretty hard on the guy.
Oh, on the president.
Yeah, I'm a union guy. I need Obama.
Well, we all do, but you don't think this is going to be forgotten in 2 weeks? I mean, the American attention span is not going to retain this in 2012 when the GOP's run a lemon, when they've done nothing for 2 years, and when Obama sails to a not easy but decidedly sure victory.
But, Keith, you know, you raise a good point. This is what the White House was saying that I understood, but talking about the professional left, is you're right. We are not Fox News. They march in lockstep behind any Republican candidate. Look at what they did with Bush.
Well, right,
Bush could do no wrong on Fox News, and you're absolutely right.
Is
that people, in my opinion, have been shooting too much at the president entirely.
Right, because they have Fox News. You know, Obama has it. Schultz, you know what I'm saying?
The liberals tend to think for themselves. Republicans tend to think as a group.
All right.
Oh.
Let's go to...
Progress takes a long time.
That's right.
Mary in Phoenix. Hello, Mayor.
Yes.
Hi, go ahead.
Well, Steph, I just wanted to say that I'm one of those over 65 that you kind of think are all, I don't know, right-wingers or whatever.
I never said that.
Never said that at all.
Definitely in Obama's camp, and we were all called to a meeting. I'm a retiree from a large utility company. We're all called to a meeting because they're changing our health care, and you walk in and there's all this semi-celebration, and I was livid, and I was ready for a fight. And then what they're changing to, provider of the plan gets up and starts saying, okay, we're changing to this, the cost will be basically the same, but there will be no lifetime cap, there will be no refusal for pre-existing conditions, your children can be on it, and there's just the quiet. They're like, oh, well, all of that, and our cost isn't going to change. We do have a new provider, so because a lot of the older people are like, well, now how am I going to do my Medicare with that, blah, blah, blah. But there was just a sort of quiet in the room, like they had nothing to complain about.
Right, you're like, wait a minute, that's not what Fox News said.
Yeah, that's not what they had heard. I mean, no lifetime cap, and you could hear little discussions going on, and I'm thinking, I feel so sad for me that I live in Arizona, but I was glad to be at that meeting because I couldn't believe, I think if they try to roll back health care, they may have a fight on their hands, even from some of their own people.
Yes, then you'll learn the truth of it. Absolutely. Great call, Mary. Thank you for that. What a fine American. That's exactly right.
Mm-hmm.
Wait till the reality kicks in. Yep. Wait till you lose your health care if you're one of the 32 million that got it. Wait till you get discriminated again for your pre-existing condition.
Yep.
Be told you got to drop your kid who's 25 on your insurance. All right, so I love that fine American and this fine American grandmother, 62. Grandmother 62 had sex with 200 toy boys in 2 years.
Oh, she's a fine British subject, actually.
Sex mad grandmother Carol Bone claims she slept with more than 200 men after joining 13 dating websites. Miss Bone has had 2 years of one-night stands, even though she suffers from arthritis and back pain.
You know, girl, cigarette fight. It ain't a night. It ain't a man's world. You know, girl, cigarette.
I'm just giving it up for the older ladies with spunk. 13 dating websites, that's a lot of, you know, I'm just saying somebody 62 using the internet webs that much is even impressive.
That's a lot of strange.
John Fuglesang.com is the website, my friend.
John Fuglesang. Welcome.
Sorry.
who apparently it's a royal website. Yeah. All right, you can go there to find things on all things Fuglesangian. That is it for us. Mondays, as usual, Rude Pundit.
Yep.
Eric Bollert.
Yep.
And Edie McClurg.
That's right.
Mondays with McClurg. We will see you then on The Stephanie Miller Show.